when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 31, and Jesus came down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee. Luke 4 and 31, and taught, he was teaching them on the Sabbath days. In verse 32 of Luke 4, and they were astonished as they heard and listened at his doctrine, or the words or the truth that he was speaking. For his word was with power. And in the synagogue, in the church, in the synagogue, the place of worship, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. It was in the synagogue. This man was demon possessed and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" It sounds like there's more than one devil in there. "I know thee, who thou art." You see, you got to do more than just believe. Even devils believe, and they know who Jesus is. "I know thee, that thou art the Holy One of God." Verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, rebuked the spirit, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the devil had thrown him, demon possession is a serious, serious thing. And Jesus is the only one that has the power to set the captives free. And when the devil had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves. You know, it was a different day in that synagogue that day. It wasn't your typical service, because can I tell you, when Jesus shows up in the house, things are going to happen. He disrupts the spiritual realm. I'll tell you why most demons don't manifest in many churches, because Jesus ain't there. That's why hypocrites and demon-possessed people can sit in a congregation and not feel any ease. They're just comfortable. They're just relaxed. But I'm going to tell you, when Christ comes into the house, when Christ is in the church, there is something that will draw to the surface. Oh, listen to me. Jesus is a mighty deliverer. Can you say amen? So what we need to see here is that in this synagogue, there was a great deliverance that took place on the Sabbath day. The devil threw this man on the ground, but he was delivered. Verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? Amen. For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Hallelujah. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. In verse 36 is where we'll take our text for preaching today. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, let me go ahead and read it again. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? And that's what I want to just simply from the text take this thought, what a word is this? When Christ speaks, it's different from any other voice. You know, they say you can recognize men and learn a lot about people by whether or not how they speak. And you can tell a lot about people by how they talk. You can tell what part of the country. You don't have to talk to me long to know that I'm not from the Northeast. They always ask me, where are you from? You don't have that northern, amen, New Englander accent. Amen. I can talk to some of you, and yeah, you can pick, you're a New Englander. Amen. You go up to Maine, and those Maynards, they've got their own language. You go down to Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, even parts of Pennsylvania, and they got that twang about. How many of us know you can identify people, amen, by the way that they sound and how they talk? That's one thing I learned in Brazil and in Africa, and there's different actual dialects of Swahili in Africa and Brazil. They have different types of Portuguese words. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, demons that are in this man and in this text, you got to understand, they knew the words that were coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing being mistaken of who was speaking. He wasn't speaking like the other men spoke. He was a man, Christ was a man that spoke, amen, with authority. He understood who he was. Jesus didn't need, like some preachers promote, John the Baptist to tell him he was the Son of God. No, no. Jesus knew his purpose here on the earth. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of the living God. He was the one that came to do what? As the demon even announced it and knew, come to destroy the works of the demonic realm. Jesus was a man of authority. And not just altogether limited authority. You know, you can have delegated authority given to you by man. Your boss can give you and your manager, they dictate how much authority you can have. And you can have control of certain departments, and you can speak things over certain people, and amen, they have to obey you, or at least you hope they do anyway, amen. And that's the power struggle of most people. They don't like coming under any type of command or authority. But understand, when Jesus spoke, he spoke unlike any other man. They recognized that the words of his power not only came with authority, but demonstration of power. That what he said took place and happened. In other words, God is not a man that he should lie. If he says it, it shall come to pass. If you believe it, say amen. How many know God is a man of his word? The Bible declares, and I love this scripture out of Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the Bible declares, where the word of a king is, there is what? There is power. And who may say to that king, what are you doing? Or who's giving, listen, a king is known in this earth as a man of authority. You don't question the kings of nations. If you're a little peasant, or if you're the king is the one that's in control. Can you say amen? And where the word of a king goes forth, there is power and authority not only to speak the word, but to bring to pass, amen, that word from taking place. In other words, that word and whatever they command, it shall be done. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and 29, for he what? Was teaching them, or he taught them as one having what? Authority. And not as the scribes. How many have ever been around somebody that had a big mouth but had no authority or nothing to back it up? Some of the expressions people use in our nation is put your money where your mouth is. Anybody can say a word. Anybody can speak loud and bold and strong and try to intimidate. I don't know how many times I've had people get up in my face and literally speak growling, some of them spitting on me, some of them, amen, trying to intimidate me. How many of you ever had somebody in your face, amen, that tried to intimidate you with their words? I've even had them growl at me. Then I knew quickly I was dealing with demons, amen. I'm just telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. Listen, if Christ is in you, you have some power and authority. Understand, that doesn't mean you get to dictate it and display it. Understand, God's power and authority is given to the believer for one purpose, and that is to accomplish the will of God here in the earth. Amen. It isn't to make a spectacle in front of cameras. It isn't to make a spectacle or to have all these different environments to where you bring attention to your ministry or you bring attention to the works that you're doing. Jesus was a man of authority. He wasn't just any man, he was the King of Kings. Somebody say he was the Lord of Lords. And his power is unmatched by any man. So he preaches and teaches with authority, not like other men. If the truth be told, in the work of the ministry and within the body of Christ, there are men that can speak well. There are people that can teach well. I've met a lot of men in my travels of ministry throughout the years, and I can tell you this, amen, they can play the part. They know the lingo of Christianity. They even know the Bible. Some of them are probably more educated than me, but I have sat back in different environments of ministry throughout the nations of the world. I've watched men get up and speak the word of God. I've watched them teach and preach the word of God. But when it comes to dealing with the demonic realm, there is a different level of authority that you must have as a man of God. As a woman of God, you got to understand that this power that God gives the believer, it comes by faith. Can you say amen? How many of us know without faith, it is impossible to please God? And God will not move without the believer, the people having an element of faith. How many of us know when he came, amen, to his hometown of Nazareth, he would not do any works but just heal a few sick folk? Why? Because they did not believe that he was the Christ. Can I tell you, brothers and sister, I talked about the revelation of Peter saying that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hear what I'm about to say right here. You've got to have a revelation that Jesus is not just any man, but he is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is the one that God ordained and anointed to come down to this earth to destroy with the word of his power, amen, the works of the wicked one. The Bible says here, when it speaks of authority and power, there's a great illustrative story in Matthew chapter 8 in verse 5. We've heard this story many times, but it teaches us a good lesson on what authority is, amen, that Christ had. What is this authority? Understand, authority, true authority. In other words, authority that actually is genuine. It comes from above. God said that the powers that be, whether they be governments, whether they be kings and thrones and dominions and powers and principalities and the governments of this earth, they all are under his power and his authority. He raises up kings, but he also removes kings. Let King Nebuchadnezzar testify to you when he began to brag on all that he had accomplished, what I have done, what I have built, what I, that's the same spirit that Lucifer had when he was struck out of heaven with a lightning bolt. How many of us know, brothers and sisters, amen, God knows the proud afar off, but King Nebuchadnezzar quickly learned through a lesson of being turned into a beast that, amen, God and God alone is the one that exalts. He's the one that Job said gives and takes away. Are you listening today? Do you understand that you and I have nothing or can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ giving us this power and this authority? It's very important for us to understand the difference between power and authority. Somebody say two different words. And we've got to know the difference if we're going to be effective to deal with not only the natural realm of circumstances that many of us are fighting. Because listen, you're going to deal with spirits indirectly through people. You better hear what I just told you. The devil doesn't just float around as a spirit. He uses bodies. Boy, I wish I could preach a little while right here to help someone get a better understanding of the spiritual realm. There are people, what we call, they're toting some spirits. They're carrying some baggage. They've got some things in them, amen, and you're wondering why you're feeling intimidated, why you're feeling these spirits, why you're feeling fear, why you're feeling, amen, anxiety, why you feel stress around certain individuals, amen. Some of you seem anxious today, but I'm going to preach right through here to help somebody to understand. Pastor Davis loves you enough today to let you know there are some things not only in the natural that we're dealing with, but really what's driving the natural force is the spiritual realm. It is demon power that's driving people today to do what they're doing. Are you listening to me? Now listen, I know there's the works of the flesh, but there are demons driving people to do things that are so ungodly. How many of us know we're living in a very ungodly society today? You know how ungodly the nations of the earth are turning right now. Satan is trying to unleash his agenda upon this earth, his last day plan to do all that he can to destroy the work of God, hinder the will of God, and destroy the believer. I told you a couple weeks back where Satan had a plan to sift Peter like wheat. There was a strategic plan to take the man of God out. But all Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter. That your what? That your preaching ability wouldn't fail? That your education wouldn't fail? He said that your faith in me would not fail. The devil wants your faith. And what we've got to be is a people that understand that God is the one that has all power. Can you say amen? And all authority. In Matthew 8 and 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, Matthew 8 and 5, there came unto him a centurion, a man probably with 80 to 100 soldiers, a Roman soldiers, under him. He was the commander. He was the one of authority. This was probably a man of experience. He was not just some, amen, greenhorn centurion or soldier. He was a man that had been tried and tested and proven to be a faithful soldier that could come under authority and under command. You never will be promoted in the natural services of the army, the Marines, the Air Force, amen. And can I tell you, never be promoted unless you first prove that you can listen to authority and obey what you've been told to do. And can I tell you, the body of Christ and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is no different. Paul likens us as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God likened Gideon as having an army of 300, that I'm going to use these 300 men to do a mighty work for me. So we are likened, just as in natural, amen, to the army, the Air Force, the Marines, and soldiers, also into the spiritual. Paul uses this terminology. Listen to me right here. Don't let your mind wander. You've got to grasp this, to understand that God is a God of order. God is not confused. God is not doting around trying to figure out how he... God knows them that are his. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Can I tell you what the true church is called to do today? And that is to manifest the power and the glory and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. That's why he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Somebody say, I want to glorify my Father which is in heaven. Is that truly your desire? I want to glorify him with my life. I want to take the authority and the power that he's given me, and I want to make a difference in my world. Now, you may never get to travel the world, but your world may be in Manchester. Your world may be in Pembroke. Your world may be in Milford, maybe in Nashua, maybe in Rochester. I don't know. Amen. That's your world. That's the place of influence. That's the place where you go out into the highways, into the byways, in your community, and you let your light shine before men. This man that had a sick servant, in verse 6, and saying, Lord, he came to Christ, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously sick. He was impotent, couldn't walk. This man was in a lot of pain, bones and muscles not functioning properly, probably twitching with constant and reaving pain. And this man was dying. And the Bible says that the centurion comes to Christ. And this is, remember, we're preaching on this right here to see that, amen, there is a word that Christ gives to this man. He comes to him and says, will you come and heal my servant that lieth home sick? In verse 6, and Jesus says, I will come. And do what? I might heal him. I will heal him. Somebody say, he is the healer. Amen. Well, I have no power to heal. You know, have no power to heal. But we have faith in the one that has the power to heal. The one that has the power to cast out demons. Amen. To save our lost loved ones. We know him, and his power is more than able to do what we can believe him for. Is there anything? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Bible goes on to say the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come heal my servant. You should even come under my roof, but speak the word only, Matthew 8:8. Speak your word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. What a statement. What a statement. I got to be careful, because I could preach on this for a long time right here. This is something I had to learn as a younger minister and preacher called to do the work of the ministry. Is that, amen, I had the zeal, I had the umph, I had the youth and the energy and the strength to just go, amen. But how many of us know, amen, if you're going to go, you first got to be sent. And before you can be sent, you first got to be prepared. Amen. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, God prepares his people. Amen. And he just doesn't throw any soldier out on the battlefield. Some of us aren't qualified to deal with the demonic realm. Some of us aren't really anointed to preach the gospel in certain environments. I realized just a few years back, I really wasn't ready to step into some of the environments and churches and the stages that God had me. Not speaking of the natural stage, but speaking of the spiritual atmosphere and the gravity of the weight of being in an atmosphere of preaching to thousands of people. We get excited about preaching to big crowds, and everything today in ministry, amen, is measured by how big it is. And Can I tell you, don't despise the day of small things. Just because we're not running 150, 200 people doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus Christ isn't in this house healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that Christ is not looking at the size of a church to display his power. And Jesus wants us to understand about power and authority through this story, where this centurion comes to him and simply displays a faith that Christ has not seen anywhere else in his ministry. There was two times where Jesus marveled at their unbelief, and he marveled at the faith of this one man, this centurion. He heard Christ say in verse 7, I will come and heal him. He heard the word. And how many of us know faith comes by hearing? This man understood that authority from, amen, those that are your hierarchies, those that are in positions above you. No doubt this centurion heard about the healings of Jesus. No doubt he heard about all that Christ was doing. The Romans kept good track of Christ. They followed him. They watched him. They were recording everything that he was doing. Amen. And listen to me, brothers and sisters. You've got to understand that word would get around, not just from the Roman soldiers, but through other people, that this man speaks like not like any other man. He's not like those hypocrites, Sadducees, and Pharisees, those self-righteous men wearing robes that speak but have no power in their words, that speak and nothing manifests in the spiritual realm. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, amen, has a word of authority. When he speaks, the wind obeys. When he speaks, trees dry up. When he speaks, all the water turns into wine. When he speaks, the dead come back to life again. I wish I could get some of you to hear what I'm telling you, because some of you need a resurrection to understand that we serve a God that has faith to do anything. If we can provide the faith, we can put it in the one that gives us the faith through his word, and he can do anything. Can you say amen? How many believe that he gives us faith? It's not even of ourselves. He gives the faith. He wants you to believe for greater than what you're believing for right now. Amen. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.